Now, if we have the sound right, I think it is. Won't you turn, please, in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I think it's some months now that we've been working through this particular pastoral letter. That's what it is known as. Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, who is a pastor at the church of Ephesus, and giving him all sorts of advice and guidelines. And through this, we have great revelation of God and, of course, of God's will for the church. And so tonight, I want us to pick the passage up from chapter 5 and verse 3. In fact, let's read from verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, he should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, and helping those in trouble and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle, going about from house to house. Not only do they become idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel young widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. Just so far. Dear Lord, we do turn again this evening to you. We do thank you for the written word, but the written word giving testimony to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ, in who he was, who he is, and what he has in mind for his church. We pray for you to minister to us, and Lord, particularly tonight as we consider this passage, to challenge us in that which we do, and Lord, help us to walk in the steps that you would have us walk. We do pray for each other. We do ask for just your Holy Spirit's ministry in our personal lives, just in daily strength of faith. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, if you remember, Gareth started his message with a particular question. He asked the question, is the Central Baptist Church a friendly church? Now, I'm sure some of you drew some conclusions, and perhaps after his message you were better able to answer that particular question. Are we a friendly church? Well, tonight I want to take that a little bit further. I want to extend that question and ask the question, is the Central Baptist Church a caring church? Are we a caring church? Do we take any notice of those in need? Do we look around and see that there may be those who, unlike us, are not provided for? And then do we do something about it? Do we act in a kind and caring way? Now, I want you to consider that question tonight, but perhaps just to add another question, another matter that needs to be considered as we think about this question of being a caring church. And the question, I think, an issue that many of us struggle with is, do we care, do we reach out to people indiscriminately with some kind of help or assistance or some kind of provision? Are we required to indiscriminately care for anybody and everyone? Well, that being the introduction, let me begin now by going to the passage. And I want to ask a number of questions from this passage. And the first is, well, what constitutes need? What constitutes need? I think it's a relative thing for many of us. But in this passage, the Apostle Paul identifies the widows as fitting into the category of the needy. And Paul speaks of the widows in three places in this passage, specifically as those who are really in need. Verse 3, just identifying the fact that they are in need. And then in verse 5, where he adds the words, and left all alone. In other words, without help, without aid, unaided, desolate. And then again he adds the words, or uses the words in verse 16 again, about the widows really in need. Now we need to think about first century, what I would call subsistence. What area was this? Palestine. First century subsistence Palestine. What was it like for the woman and for the men living in that particular day? So different, I would suggest to you, from what we find today. We do not and did not have women in those days who went out and got a university degree. Many of you young adults at university studying, very unlike what took place in that particular era. They did not do that. The woman, or probably most of the women, certainly did not have any investments. There was no bank account. There was no retirement annuity. And in all probability as well, except for the very few who were from rich families, they did not have any kind of provision when their husbands passed away. Most of these women would have been totally dependent on their husbands for survival, for existence, for a roof over their head, for food in their stomach. In fact, the husband would have gone out and did a job and earned his money on a daily basis, every night. He would bring home some money and they would be able to buy food for the next day. And the next day he would go and work and they would buy food for the next day. Or they would grow some food. It was very much a rural subsistence kind of existence. So when the husband died, the widow would have been left desolate. Now, of course, we may ask the question, does this happen today? Seeing that the ladies are all studying, seeing that we have all sorts of provision in retirement annuities and retirement funds and widow benefit funds, do we still have people, women specifically, widows, in our cities who are in need? And I'd suggest to you tonight that we do. Right in our city, on our doorstep, you don't have to go very far into Sunnyside and you will discover that there are many needy widows. Of course, out in the suburbs, I've come across people living in conditions that would be absolutely basic and terrible, suffering, basically trying to get on with an old age pension. And then we need to add, of course, that there are those widows, and again, I refer to Stinkwater and Letlebile, but the rural areas and the township areas where the scourge of AIDS has been taking its toll. There are many, many who simply do not have the resources to survive. Husbands have died. And so the widows struggle. They have nothing to survive on or with. They cannot make ends meet. They're unable to gather enough money for basic resources. They have no provision for food and shelter and clothing. And so I believe that is what constitutes need. It is that ability or inability to provide for basic living needs. And so Paul says to Timothy in verse 3, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. We need to care for them. But of course, that leads me to an application. Does this extend beyond the category of the widow? Is it just the widow, or do we also need to be concerned, do we also need to be caring for other people who are in need? And I'm convinced we do. If we look across the pages of the Bible, it seems to be the concern on the heart of God, certainly the concern throughout the pages of Scripture, that the widow and the orphan are representative of those in need. Again, in our own community, there are others who are poor and needy. There are those, even in our congregation, who are genuinely unemployed. They cannot find work. Some younger people, some older people who have reached an age of 50 and 55, and simply because of the political situation at the moment, they cannot find work. There is no ability, even though they are willing to go out and do work, they cannot find work, and so there is need. There are others who are unemployable. They simply are not trained. They don't have skills. And we need to understand that there therefore is a need. I had a certain gentleman come by this week who said to me, and he's part of our congregation, he has no place to stay. He is sleeping on the streets. And the reason he came into the office is he asked if he could leave his bag of things, at least for safekeeping. That's what's happening among us. Around us, there are people who are needy. Well, the second question, and I think this is an important one, who qualifies for help? Who qualifies for help? I find it quite interesting that Paul here in this passage separates certain widows out from others as being eligible for help. In other words, there are some who qualify for assistance, and there are some who don't. Have a look at verse 5. See, there are those identified there who, having lost all, are dependent on God, and therefore seen in verse 5, the widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. Certain type of person here. Someone who is dependent on God. And then as we move on, we see that there are certain criteria, certain qualifications that must be applied when widows are enrolled onto what is called a special widows list. Now, I need to say tonight, I consulted many commentators and there is really no conclusion as to what that widows list really is. It's not clear. It may have been, on the one hand, just a list of widows who were cared for in the life of the church. Or it may have been, and I think this is the more probable, a list of widows receiving help, but also appointed into an official role of ministry in the church. They were doing something. They were committed to the other followers. They had a particular responsibility. And in this particular instance, the widows were over the age of 60, so that they had the time. No children to look after on a daily basis, no big home to take care of, and so on and so on. They have time, therefore, to devote themselves to the work of ministry in the local church. Have a look at verse 9. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60. Has been faithful to her husband, look at the criteria there, is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Now that's one category. The woman or the widows who are dependent on God, and those widows who have a good track record within the life of the church. But then Paul does something quite difficult here in terms of interpretation. He speaks of some younger widows. Verse 13. They get into the habit of being idle. Doesn't happen today, does it? Going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. This is the other category. And Paul seems to separate these two categories out. The godly, dependent, committed, faithful worker in the church. And this other category of idle gossipers. And I think the point, in fact I believe the point that has been made, is that some discernment should be applied in this area of helping those in need. Paul is not advocating an indiscriminate doling out of aid. I cannot tell you how much time we spend, those of us who are here during the week, John especially at the moment, I know Gareth has spent much time in the past, as people pass by, just pass by, and they see the church, and they knock on the door, and they've been somewhere, and they're going somewhere, and they're in Pretoria, but their wallets have lost, and they need money to get somewhere. It's always the same story. And we feel guilty, and sometimes I think it's false guilt. The scriptures are teaching here that we do not, we are not obligated to give everybody and anybody aid. It seems to me that the priority must be towards those who are dependent on God, those who have a commendable track record of service in the home and in the church. Therein lies the priority. And I think that must apply not only to widows, of course, but in the other categories of need as well. We are required as servants of God to help people in need. But He's not calling us, He's not commanding us simply to help all and sundry indiscriminately who happen to see the church as an easy opportunity or perhaps a soft target for help. Well, the third question, who should help? Well, the easy answer, of course, is the church. The church does have a responsibility to give support to those in need, and particularly those who qualify for need. And we see this as the pattern early on in the life of the church. I remind you of the passage in Acts chapter 6. And we see that this concern for the widows, the feeding of the widows, was a priority of church leadership. Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, in other words, the church was getting bigger, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. Why? Because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. You see their concern, their practical ministry, they were reaching out to the widows. And in this particular instance, they were failing, they were falling short, they were not coping with the task. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them." You get the point? The church is responsible. The church must rise up to the responsibility. We cannot turn a blind eye to those among us who are in need. It's very important that we see this. We cannot ignore that responsibility. There are those among us who are desperately in need of help, and we need to do something. Now, we do some things here at Central. Perhaps you don't know. I should perhaps mention some of the things, some of the avenues of ministry that we provide. We feed people in 3 different categories, if you like, of assistance. We have a clothing bank, if you have excess clothing or perhaps 2 jackets and you only need 1, you're most welcome to bring that to the church, and we will try and facilitate the process of giving that to somebody in need. I will also speak just now a little bit about our retirement centers, the ministry we have among the elderly in the city. So some effort is being made. We're also partnering at the moment with the Foss Street Feeding Scheme, where people can go and get food. And we do support them also on a monthly basis. But is it enough? The challenge is, can we not be doing more? Should we not be doing more? We cannot ignore the needy. I can perhaps say something at this stage about our retirement ministry in the context of this passage. 20 odd years ago, 25 years ago, this church started a wealthy organization with a specific focus of caring for the elderly. And from that, and over the years, there has developed three huge retirement centers. Two out in the east of Pretoria, and one in Arcadia, in Pretoria Street. We house approximately 470 residents in those centers. I do need to say that many of those who live in our centers finance their own way. So they're fairly well-off people. They've been able to purchase life rights in either a cottage or a flat or so on. But at the same time, our focus is and continues to be helping others. And I hope you've heard me say from this pulpit that we seek to help those who cannot provide for themselves. This past year, and we will be reporting in a few weeks' time, in fact, that about 470,000 rand was spent in the last year in assisting, in subsidizing those who are unable to provide for themselves. A wonderful ministry, but a ministry again that can be developed to greater heights and reaching out further afield. That's the church. So Central Baptist Church is doing something, but perhaps we can do more. But do you personally have any responsibility or any obligation to help? What do you think? Is it okay for the church just to do it? Or do we need to do it on a personal level? You see, from what Paul says to Timothy, it seems to me that there are ever widening circles of responsibility. And I find it very interesting that the inner circle, the primary responsibility lies with the family, with the individual, with you and with me. Have a look at verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. You know what? As children, as grandchildren, we are called upon by God to be first in line to help, especially the family, parents and grandparents. And the reasoning, the logic that Paul uses here makes such good sense. For many years, our parents sacrificed for our benefit. I remember that. I remember my mother and father going out many times, going without things, so that we four children could have things we needed. They did that. Didn't ever make a scene about it, but again and again, they did it. I like to think I do that for my children. And perhaps they'll do that for their children. But the point is, the point that Paul is making, that God is making through Paul, is children, things were at one time such that your parents cared for you. The day will come when you will need to care for your parents and your grandparents. He adds a little bit more here. Again, this personal responsibility I see in verse 16. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, so now we're speaking about the extended family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So in other words, we don't just lump everything into the church and say, well, let the church get on with it. The principle he's suggesting and promoting over here is that do what you can, even for those in the extended family, so that the church is not overly burdened. So it can get on and really help those in need. And then, of course, he gives this wonderful reason. This kindness, this caring is evidence of true godliness and is pleasing to God. Sadly, and because of our retirement ministries, I do get to see many elderly people in our various centers. Some never see a soul. It's so sad. Some of those elderly widows, and we have some folk here who work in our retirement ministry tonight, will tell you, they never get a visit from a son or a daughter. from a grandson or a granddaughter. They long for someone just to come, visit with them, show them a bit of interest and love and kindness. They're simply left alone and abandoned, and that's still in a retirement center. I believe in other areas, I think there are many widows in Sunnyside sitting in bachelor flats, never seeing or hearing from anybody of their family. And perhaps I need to challenge you on that issue tonight. Are you in touch with your parents? I get a bit worried when I hear that people haven't chatted to their mother or father for a year or two or five. You've got to stay in touch. And not just physically care for them, but even emotionally be in touch with them, support them, and show them the love of Christ. Verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Isn't that sad? So it's more than just gathering together and professing to be a believer or belonging to a particular home group or discipleship group or singing choruses together or even participating around the Lord's Supper. There's more. The evidence of true belief of a true believer is shown in the caring of the family. Well, let me tackle this difficult issue now, which is my fourth question. What about the younger widows? I think from what I've read, it seems as if this widow's list involved some sort of commitment by certain widows, those with a godly reputation, remember, and their commitment was to Christ in some form of service within the life and the ministry of the church. And of course, that reputation is listed for us in verse 10. Well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up her children. Do you see that? Perhaps younger people take note of that. Such as bringing up your children. That is a good deed in the sight of God. Do not forsake that responsibility. Do not jettison that off to somebody else. Take responsibility for your children. It is a good deed in the eyes of God. Washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting yourself to all kinds of good deeds. Now, Paul adds that younger widows, a certain category of younger widows, were not permitted to be put on that list. Verse 11. As for young widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Now, think about younger widows. Now, what is Paul saying to us? How do we understand this today? Now, as I thought about this and trying to understand the nature of a man and the nature of a woman, would it not be true that younger widows, generally speaking, would have more of an inclination to want to be a wife, to have her sensual desires met? Wouldn't that be true? If you lose your husband and you've been married and you're 40, I think it's very different if you've been married and you lose your husband and you're 70. At 40, there is this hankering, this desiring, this inclination. And the inclination, of course, if we make it a little bit younger, to have children. And so what happens if these felt needs are not being met? Then I believe that there may be the temptation and again the inclination to become dissatisfied, to become restless in life and living. And so having previously made a commitment to become part of this list of widows serving in the church, being committed in a long-term basis, that is broken. Say, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm restless. I'm feeling dissatisfied about life. And so what happens? The Apostle Paul is trying to protect them here, and he's saying they then get into the habit of being idle and going from house to house. Not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to do. And you know what? I've seen that happen in the eastern suburbs of Pretoria. What am I talking about? I'm talking about rich wives. Husbands providing 2 4-by-4s and I don't know what else for the family, and probably 2 or 3 full-time maids in the house. They've got nothing to do. And you know what they do? They go around and they do this very thing. And I think I haven't seen the thing on TV, but I've seen it advertised. is Desperate Housewives. See, all the young people have seen it. Isn't that the problem? And so the advice that Paul gives, rather, to the younger widow, verse 14, I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, get involved with the good work, the good deeds, to manage their homes and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. And so in this way, they would be provided with a godly avenue of service, both in the home and in the family. And so then, just to close off tonight, some challenges. I do want to ask, following my question at the beginning of the sermon, is this a caring church? Perhaps I need to add to that, are you a caring individual Christian believer? Well, I think at least three challenges should flow from this message. God is calling us to take up the challenge of caring in the context of the family. I want to urge you, as I said during the message today, cultivate and nurture good relationships with your parents, young people, older people, so that in the old age, and perhaps some of you may have them already in the old age, that you do everything you can to care for them, to be kind to them, to serve them, and in this way, honor God. Secondly, I do believe that there is a challenge that comes in this message in general, that we are to keep our eyes and our wallets open for those in real need. Let's be sensitive. Let's be sensitive to people around us. So often we can live our lives oblivious of somebody who is struggling, somebody who is not coping, somebody who simply does not have enough to survive. And God is saying, be sensitive, especially to those who have faithfully served the Lord in the context of the church. And so let us be a caring church. And then I do need to say right in at the end, and my final comment is, a challenge is never to forget that we do this because we have received mercy and kindness. It is us doing this because Jesus has provided for us that which we do not deserve. Understand? And I think it's important we see this gospel, the good news, in the context of the deed that flows out from us. Let us never forget the Lord Jesus Christ, who has mercifully provided for your and my greater need of lostness and deadness in sin. Dear Lord, we do pray that, having heard practical challenges and advice with regard to the caring of those in need, that you would take us further and forward in honoring you in this kind of work. We pray for the church here at Central. In some of the ministries we have, Lord, I pray that you would help us to develop these ministries and more ministries to reach out to the needy. We thank you, Lord, for those that exist, for Abba House. I thank you for Bethesda and the work that they do among orphans at Little Bile and the feeding, and many more opportunities, Lord, that can be developed. I pray that you would burden us and impress upon our hearts challenges that we can take up and be involved in. But then as well, Lord, tonight we pray that you would help us to have an eye for people in our fellowship, those who worship with us, that we can also reach out and care for them. We pray for our families, those who have parents, to pray, Lord, for their provision, and also that there would be a caring, a concern, good relationships and encouragement from professing believers. And then, Lord, we thank you tonight again for your kindness toward us. We thank you, Lord, that we can cast our care upon you because you love us. And again, you have shown your faithfulness to us. And so go with us, Lord. Help us to be useful servants in your kingdom and for your glory. Amen.